Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Now, I'm so excited about this nation. And I love this nation because everything hinges on who God is. For God and my country. So we started a new series, which I'm enjoying. And we got some response. Almost many of you are saying, man, this is amazing. But some of you said, man, this stuff is challenging. One of the young men found me out there and they asked me, what is there to love about? And I reminded that young man that it depends on the lenses you're putting on. Because last week we said that there were two people that had different lenses when the children of Israel were about to possess the land. We had Joshua and Caleb that had the lenses of faith. They had a telescope, not a microscope. Because many of us look at Uganda in the lenses of a microscope. Everything is bad. But for us, we look at Uganda in the lenses of a telescope. What God sees Uganda. And that is what faith is. I wonder, are you putting on the lenses of Caleb and Joshua or the lenses of the 10 spies? I want to challenge you that we start looking at our nation in the lenses of hope, faith, courage. The future is bright. Why? Because this is our motherland. And our theme scripture throughout this season is in Acts 17, verse 26. We see Paul speaking to the guys in Ephesus about the unknown God they were worshiping. And he says this in verse 26 of chapter 17. From one man, God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God made this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. So the boundaries of Uganda were not formed by the colonialists. They were formed by God. Where you are is not a mistake. The history of this nation is not a mistake. God had a hand in the affairs of this nation. And today I want to continue with I love Uganda, but looking at one aspect that God has a beautiful plan for Uganda. Come on, turn to someone and tell them, God has a beautiful plan for Uganda. God has a plan for this nation. When I look through the corridors of history, I see God's hand throughout Uganda. Now, some of you are young. I know from university, you've lived for 23 years. And so everything seems to be what it is. But if you look at the older guys who have lived longer than we have, when they look through the corridors of history, they see our nation and they see the hand of God upon our nation. I've got some areas like the health area. Did you know that there's a season in our lives in the 80s where AIDS was projected as a disease that will wipe out Uganda? Everyone thought Uganda would be wiped out because of AIDS. But guess what? God's hand was upon us. God's hand was upon us. A nation that was around 20 million people, right now we are over 44 million people. If that is not God, who is that then? And now AIDS is not a death sentence. Actually, the good things that God has done, it has now turned out bad. Because some of us campuses don't fear AIDS, but we fear getting pregnant. Now that's a problem. I remember the season when Ebola hit Uganda. Everyone said, Uganda, we are finished. Because no one had handled Ebola. But as I speak right now, did you know that the consultants that helped when they went to Freetown, when those guys had Ebola, were from Uganda? Now, Ugandans, we are consultants in Ebola. That is what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. I am telling you, I have a church member whose friend was on that, those selected consultants, the team that went to Liberia, and he actually got sick of Ebola, but got healed, which was also a miracle. And he came back and said, guys, you don't know how this country is treasured. Why? Because we have the brains. We have the hands. I've not seen smart people like Ugandans. We are smart people. I'm serious. We are smart people. We are. The other areas that I would love to celebrate is in the area of worship. Now, some of us come here, we tweet whatever the pastor says. We dance yesterday. We have an overnight the whole night. Did you know there's a season where evangelicals could not meet at church? There's a season when you came to church, they would arrest you. Some of them were killed. But look right now. We come and worship from morning to evening. At night, we're in church and nothing happens. That is God. I'm telling you, that is God. We need to celebrate what God is doing. I remember a season when the Garys, the Pastor Gary, they were praying that God raise up leaders in this nation. Do you know right now we have more Christians going in places of leadership in this nation? I'm telling you, you can name them now. Those days would be looking for them. Tell your neighbor, the next one is me. I'm telling you, more Christians are holding positions of influence. And that's a good thing. Did you know that there's a season in Uganda where you would not have sugar? Instead of sugar, you had sugar cane. I'm telling you, you pound the sugar cane and put in the tea. Now we have sacks of sugar in our homes. And some of you have never taken tea without sugar. That is God's hand upon this nation. That is God's hand. Because there are nations in Africa that I know up to now, they can't afford sugar. But the economy is doing well. I've seen people in the wars that we have gone through, many wars. Almost every regime came with wars. And let me tell you, every time you have wars, you have destruction. It doesn't matter whether the war is for, by the way, there's no war for good cause. I've had people say there's a war for good cause. No, there's no war for good cause. Because whenever there is war, people die. But throughout those many wars, God was with us and is still with us. God is still with this nation. And every time I'm reminded of the hand of God throughout history, I have one thing in my mind. God still has a beautiful plan for this nation. God still loves this nation. God has not abandoned this nation. God's hand is still directing this nation. This nation does not belong to men. This nation does not belong to politicians. This nation belongs to Jesus. Jesus owns this nation. Because I hear on television and in media, you know, this is our nation. No, it's not. It belongs to Jesus. And Jesus has given it to us. It doesn't belong to a few Ugandans. It belongs to all of us. I went to buy something in the supermarket and a certain man said, but you guy, you look like those people who come from okay, from that side. You have taken all our things. I said, no. This nation belongs to all of us, not a few. It doesn't belong from the West. It doesn't belong to the North. It doesn't belong to Central. It belongs to the 44 million Ugandans. All of us. And every time I reflect on the history and the things God is doing and the hand of God, I know many of us think, man, there's a lot that has gone on. Let me tell you, read history. Read the American history. The French history. They've gone through almost similar things. But for Uganda, what is special is this. We believe as pastors that God's hand is on it. And when I remember in the Bible, when I remember the children of Israel, they went through a season where they could not believe what was going on. They had a lot of pain. They rebelled against God. And so because they rebelled against God, God sent them to exile in Babylon. And there in Babylon, they faced a lot of trials to the point that the children of Israel thought God had forgotten them. But how many of us know that God never forgets his people? The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, and then will I hear from heaven. What will I do? Heal their land. God never forgets his people. And so God through the prophet Jeremiah speaks to the nation of Israel that I believe is speaking to us today. Please go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 verse 4 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have children, daughters, find wives for your sons and your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have daughters and sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the divinators among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. The Lord says this. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God reminds the children of Israel that I have never abandoned you. The situations around you may seem as if I have no plans for you. And the situations in Kampala sometimes may think God has no plan for this nation. In fact, some of us may be thinking, I need to go and invest somewhere else. I need to go and secure my future elsewhere. I'm here to declare to you, as it was with the children of Israel, that God has not abandoned this nation. God loves this nation more than we do. Because sometimes we think that some people have better plans for this nation. No, God has best plan for this nation. And so what can we learn from this story of the children of Israel? God tells them profound things. And one of the most important things, if we are going to see the prosperity of this nation, as the children of Israel, they had forsaken God. And God tells them to do certain things. And I believe we can learn from their example, certain things that God told them to do that we can apply in our lives today. So I think we need to apply this. We must return to God. We must return to God. As a church, it starts with us. And every time I mention the church, I don't mean the building. I mean you and I. I read on Facebook this week, someone was saying, what is the church doing about this? My question was, who is the church? The church is you and I. What are you doing? From this story, the Bible says this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you hope and a future. Verse 12 is profound. He says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, to God. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The Bible says, I will be found. You see, the challenges in Uganda are not political, are not economical. No, the challenges in our nation, Uganda, have to do with the heart of men. The heart of men is the issue with Ugandans. Now, you may be thinking, but Pastor, no, it's not about the heart. No, everything resonates from the heart. The manifestation we see in our city is a condition of the hearts of people. One speaker said, J. John says, the heart of a human problem is the problem of the human heart. This is what Jesus puts it. Matthew 15, 19 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, the fornication, stealing, false witness, blasphemy. All these things come from our hearts." As God told the children of Israel, "Return to me," God is telling us as a church to return to him. The injustice, the corruption, the lawlessness in our nation is as a result of the heart of men. If our hearts are right, Uganda will prosper. Uganda will prosper. The sky is not even the limit, it's the foundation. Uganda will go from one level to another. No wonder as a church we believe that Uganda needs Jesus like never before. And so when we turn to God and seek his face, we believe that the plans of God to prosper us will come to pass. So how do we return to God? We repent. We repent of our evil things we are doing. Did you know that the stats show 85% of Ugandans are Christians? I want to ask you a question. Who gives the bribe? Come on, shout out your answer. Who gives the bribes? You say me. That's what I expected. Because many of us, I am telling you, on the roads, when the policeman says, "I'm taking you in," what do you do? Come on, let's speak our language. Ochitegeda. You know, I know. I'm telling you. I gave a bribe when I was a little young guy. I just started learning to drive. So when the lights, our lights sometimes are suggestions. So when they suggested, I also suggested. And so the guy just stopped me. And I remember, it still haunts me up to now. I had to get a car, 5K, and you know, you come out of the car and you talk from outside so that your wife doesn't see you. No, I'm kidding. So, but I'm saying this because I've seen it in our city. The company you work for, do you leak information to benefit somebody else? The fuel voucher you get, do you put excess of what you should be getting? So how do you start saying those people? Somebody said, whenever you say those people, how many point to you? Tell your neighbor, return to God. So we need to return to God. But also as Christians, we need to preach the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that can change human hearts. It doesn't matter how leadership and people who are so educated, they're professors, but without the gospel, they are lost forever. Only the gospel can change lives. And I'm a witness to that gospel. I'd be a bad guy if I was not born again. I am telling you. But as the pastor says, they can see. I thank God I got born again. I thank God someone shared the gospel. Because in S2, was the first time I visited prison. In S2. So just imagine what I would be now. So tell your neighbor, you need to preach the gospel. I believe loving Uganda requires us to turn to God. And turning to God is in repentance and preaching the gospel. Secondly, the second thing we can do, we can learn from the nation of Israel, is get involved in the life of Uganda. The scripture says this. God said, "Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what it produces, marry, have children, daughters, find wives for them, increase in number, do not decrease." What is God saying? God is saying, have life in this nation. Do something in this nation. You know, I've been married for 8 years, and I've realized that those days whenever I would tell my wife before we got married and tell her, "You know what, I love you," she would smile, she would be happy. Now that I'm married, she even expects more. The words don't count. When I tell her, oh, I love you, baby, she says, yeah, but do something. I'm telling you, the flowers had stopped coming. She told me, what happened to the flowers? I said, they became expensive. I said, what? So what she was telling me, words without action is potea, nothing. Because some of you I see on social media, which is great. We told you last week to do it. I love Uganda, I love Uganda. That is awesome. Now do something. Do something. The scripture said, the children of Israel, and the context of this scripture is amazing, that the children of Israel were in a place where they had false prophets. People in the same camp who were discouraging them from doing life in that nation. And we too as a nation, we have reached a certain level where there are people who are telling us, don't invest here, don't do this, there is a lot of fear, your business will go down, and all that. That's not true. Because it's true to the nation of Israel, they also had people who were discouraging them. But God says those are liars. And I'm here to tell you those are liars. God is saying, get involved in this nation. I love what John Kennedy said, one of the presidents of the U.S. He says this, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. What can you do for this nation? Some of the things we need to be doing, we need to build this economy. We think that the economy is greater in the UK. No, it's not. You see, the grass looks greener the other side. But also the bills are high. You can't have green grass without watering it. Start watering yours. Come on now. Put the manure where? Here. I've made a deliberate decision. I've always told people, I will put my money where. The last time I was in Israel, our guide, a lady, was bragging about Israel. You know, we do this. So I told her, by the way, I can't wait to go back home. This place is full of dead history. She looked at me like she couldn't believe. Said, you are the first African who has said you don't want to stay here. I asked her, what do you have here? Nothing. I'm serious, by the way. Then she took me to their quote-unquote falls. Just water dripping. Now, that year I just visited Sippy Falls. I got out my phone. I said, you look at this one. This is called Sippy Falls. Now, this is a fall. Now, some of you are wondering, what is Sippy Falls? That's the problem. If you don't know what... Let's invest here. Do your business here. A friend of mine came to me and said, Pastor, I think I need to take my money to Kenya. I said, what's your problem? The money should be here. God also tells them, you know what? The area of children, get married. Here. Some of somebody came and said, Pastor, pray for me because I think my wife is in the U.S. I said, what are you so? Marry where? Here. Now look at your neighbor if they are single. Marry where? Here. And all the singles say, let's raise our children here. Yes, we can clap for God. I can see you want to clap. Listen, let's raise our children God's way. Let's invest in our children. The values, and we'll look at that next week. Let's get into leadership. Edmund said this, the only thing that is necessary for evil to triumph is when good men do nothing. We need transformational leaders. Where are they? They're here. Thirdly, let's pray for Uganda. Now, sometimes when the church says, let's pray for Uganda, many of us think church is in denial. I'm here to tell you something. Nothing changes situations like the presence of God. Nothing changes situations like the presence of God. There are nations that were at the brink of collapse, and when the church prayed, the nations stand right side up. That's why the Bible says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you to. Pray to the Lord for it. Not to judges. Pray to the what? To the Lord. Not our ancestors. Pray to the Lord. And until we pray for this nation so that God can come through and actualize his beautiful plan for this nation, we will not see it come to pass. Everything starts with prayer. All the beautiful things you're seeing now, talk to the guys who have been around for 7 years. They will tell you they what? Pray. Do you pray for Uganda every morning? Well, some of us, our prayers is, Lord, give me a wife. Lord, give me money. Lord, you. It's all about me, me, me. You think God is an ATM? No. It's more than an ATM. God wants to heal our land when we pray. I'm reminded of George Wilberforce Kakoma, who wrote the anthem that we are going to sing today. It starts with, "All Uganda, may God uphold thee." Doesn't say the judges. It says who? God. Because when God upholds you, beautiful plan will come to pass. When God holds you together, his beautiful plan will come to pass. David prayed an amazing scripture that I love to read. It is our place right now to say, we lift our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He who watches over Uganda never sleeps. God requires us to return to him.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.